Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, Jacob's Well. Can I just start off by saying it is wonderful to be around a bunch of believers today. I mean, your faith is inspiring and incredible. I mean, what you believe in and how you act out those beliefs are just something that just amazes me over and over again. I mean, it just is inspiring. And think about it. Not only do you believe in things, but you live out of that belief. You function out of that belief system. It is unbelievable to me over and over again talking to each one of you of how that is such a part of who you are as people. Now, you have beliefs in all sorts of different things. Belief in love of your family, love of your roommates, love of your children. You have this belief that when you go to work every 2 weeks, they're going to pay you, hopefully. You have the belief in that a sanitation system is going to actually work when you flush the toilet. You have a belief that eventually spring is going to come, even though we got 2 feet of snow last week. So I just want to start off by saying that we are people of belief. We are people that believe in things and function out of that belief. Now, when it comes to our relationship with this thing that we call God, it gets a little weird. It gets a little difficult sometimes. It feels like we have to live in this world of yes or no when it comes to belief. Do you believe yes or no? What does it look like to believe, yes or no? So I want to start off by asking a few questions. So if you've been here before, these are kind of our two certainty milk crates, right here and over there. And so you have check boxes on your paper. So I want you to follow along with me. So we're going to start by saying, do you believe in God, yes or no? Yes over here and no over here. Do you believe in the Trinity? No? Or is it yes? Do you believe that the Bible is infallible? Yes? Or is it no? Do you believe that Jesus is present in the Eucharist? No? Or is it yes? Woo! I just want to kind of get at the point of how silly that kind of feels. That it just is this intellectual idea of whether God is real or not, or whether these things we're supposed to believe in are real or not. And no matter how you answer those questions, does it really affect how we live our everyday life? Does it affect how we function in this world? Does it affect who we are as people in this world? And even as I'm asking those questions, I want to drive home that it feels like there's a right answer to that. It feels like I know the answer and I want to convince you of what the answer should be in your life as well. And if I really convince you right, you're going to be certain of it as well. And it just feels like we're kind of stuck. And let's be honest, here at Jacob's Well, we're not really good at these yes or no checkboxes. If you look on our website or you're around here enough, you won't see our belief statement anywhere. You won't see which checkbox we check, yes or no. Because it's not that we don't think those questions are important, they just don't seem like the point. They don't seem like they affect who we are and how we function in this world. And so, when we think about belief in this intellectual kind of exercise of, is God real, yes or no, it feels like we're putting those things into a shoebox and putting them in a closet somewhere in our house. And we got that covered, right? Maybe in your shoebox is the day you were saved. Maybe it's the Bible. Maybe it's these different components of what belief or faith are supposed to be. And you're like, I got my check boxes. I know how I'm supposed to believe in that. I'm going to put it up in this closet over here. It's going to be in this shoebox. And if life gets a little sticky, I know that it will be there, but it doesn't really affect me on a day in and day out basis. And it just feels like we're kind of stuck. So whether I check yes or no to these questions of belief, they're both seeking certainty that leaves us stuck, not learning, and not growing. They're both seeking this component of certainty to them. I'm certain yes or I'm certain no, and there's no room for growth or learning. And so because of this stuckness, we're in a conversation series here at Jacob's Well called Third Way, of looking at situations and circumstances in which we're kind of stuck between two decisions, and it just doesn't feel like either one of them get at the true meaning behind the question. It feels like an unhelpful or wrong question. And so part of what we're doing here is seeking a third way, seeking another understanding of how life can be and function in this world around us. Greg talked about it a lot 2 weeks ago now with the snowstorm, but kind of set us up of putting our heads around what this third way is. And if you missed that, I encourage you to go back and listen to it, because I think it really sets us up. But he talks about how the third way has different components to it. It has a component of humility and learning, cooperation, and flexibility. And what this third way allows us to do is embrace some sort of freedom, that we're not stuck between these two milk crates of certainty, trying to run back and forth and realize where do we actually stand, and then potentially falling on your face in front of a bunch of people. So what does that third way look like when we're talking about belief? It just doesn't seem to get at the root to say it's a matter of yes or no. So I want to sit on that stuckness for a little bit, and then we're going to move towards a potential for a third way understanding, a third way posture of how to engage in this conversation. So if we're standing on this crate of yes, I believe, what it feels like to me is that I'm just trying to convince myself over and over again that yes, God is real, that yes, the things I believe about God are the real parts of what God is. And it seems like if I'm standing in this yes, then what I'm actually searching for is this certainty, that I'm positive that God exists, that I know that God exists. And if that's where we are, it seems like it just kind of limits us, that it falls flat to some extent. And what do we do about those days when we have doubt, when we just don't really know if God is there, when we've encountered a situation that we're just not sure how God can be present in it? So this place doesn't feel very good. And then, so we go to the other extreme. We stand on that milk crate of saying, no, there's no way that God exists. There's no way that I can believe that there is a God out there. And again, we're trying to convince ourselves that there can't be a God. And if this is the case, what do we do with those moments in life where just something bigger shows up? What do we do with those moments when we're standing at the shore of our favorite lake right at sunset, and you have the people around you that you love, and you just can feel something bigger there? What do you do with those moments in which you're in the depths of despair, and there's just nothing else to turn to? That still, small voice. What is that? Those thin moments in life, how do we explain those if we're certain that God isn't there, that God doesn't exist? And then we kind of have this third option, which feels like we're meeting in the middle somewhere. But again, it feels like that certainty. It's agnosticism, that idea that we just kind of throw our hands up in the air and say, oh, there's not much I can know about God or who God is. And probably God exists, but I'm not really sure. And again, it just feels like that's a stuck place, a place where we can't learn or grow or be free. So in a way, it's a third option, but certainly not a third way. And so where do we start to move towards this third way? And I want to take a moment to go back to use a different language to see if that's part of what is our stuckness. Apparently there's some drums going on upstairs. And so we're going to look at ancient Greek. It's the language that the New Testament of the Bible was written in. And this word, pistos. Say it with me, pistos. Pistos. So usually what this word is translated into is belief. So at all those times that if we're Bible readers, the times that we come across that word, it's usually pistos. And so pistos can be translated, is a lot more dynamic of a word than belief is in our society, in our culture. And it actually can be translated into three different words that I want to sit on for today. So the first way that pistos can be translated is belief. And yet belief just feels like an intellectual checkbox to me. It feels like we're kind of stuck in our brains, stuck in our heads. So it seems like something's missing there. And then the second word that pistos can be translated into is faith. Pistos can be translated into faith. And faith, while helpful in some ways, it has turned into a kind of a shorthand for religion. Do you have faith? Well, what do I have faith in? And it's still kind of, again, trying to convince ourselves that we are in the right spot, or that we kind of are still searching for that certainty that can be a part of our lives, a part of who we are. And so the final word that I think helps us get to another level of what this wrestling with God can be like is trust. Pistos can also be translated as trust. And where I think trust helps us is that it is a building block for our relationship with God. Trust can be a building block for our relationship with this God thing. And this idea of trust moves us out of this realm of certainty, moves us out of our heads, and introduces us to our whole body. Trust is a whole body movement. It can be all aspects of our life, of who we are. And also, it can always grow. Belief, it seems like, again, we can have enough belief, and if I have enough belief, then I'm certain, and once I'm certain, then it's kind of capped, right? Or I don't believe at all, and I'm over here, and I can't grow anymore, right? Or if I'm in the middle with agnosticism, then I just throw my hands up in the air and say there's nothing I can really know about God. Trust invites us into this realm of possibility, this realm of growth and humility, this realm of understanding that something is bigger out there that we can lean into. To me, trust is at the heart of all relationships. Trust is at the heart of what we call this weaving. Certainty has a realm of it of exclusion, of isolation. If I'm certain and I get into a conversation with you and you believe something else, then I'm automatically going to start putting up a wall, because I don't want to be convinced into doubt. Then I'll be wrong. And I also don't want to be too close to you because you're on the other side. You're on the wrong side of this issue. Trust invites people in. It creates relationship. So there's this incredible story from the Gospel of Luke, this story about Jesus. And we're introduced to this individual called the centurion. And this guy represents everything that could be said about authority. He's a general. He controls all of these incredibly powerful soldiers. He's a Roman citizen. He has all of the privilege that goes along with that. And he's just this man that can really rely on himself. And then we have this Jesus character. This Jesus character is this, he's not a Roman citizen. He's kind of an outsider. He's this part of this Jewish faith that seems apart from, he doesn't really have any of that privilege that comes along with the centurion soldier. And yet, the centurion soldier, he finds out that somebody in his household is really sick. And so this person matters to him. And so he goes out in search of, how can I help heal this person? And he hears about this guy named Jesus. And so he goes and seeks out this Jesus character, this outsider, this guy who is followed by a bunch of riffraff. And he asks for help. He lays down all of this privilege that he has, all of these aspects of his life that he can rely on, and he says, no, there's something else bigger and greater out of there that can provide us some healing. And so Jesus hears about this centurion soldier, this Roman citizen, this guy that is not part of the Jewish faith, that is kind of an outsider in regards to God. And when he hears about this, he has this incredible reaction to it. He turns to these Jewish leaders that are around him, that are trying to kind of catch him in doing the wrong thing, because they're a little challenged by him too. And he turns to them and he says, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, talking about the centurion soldier. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great pistos, even in all of Israel, even in all of these Jewish people who are supposed to know the right answers, have the right beliefs, and they don't. And again, if we start to look at this, if we go back to the idea that it's all about belief is what we're striving for, Jesus never stops and asks this Roman citizen, what checkboxes are you checking? Do you believe, yes or no? Am I part of the Trinity, yes or no? Am I the Son of God, yes or no? He doesn't ask any of that. Instead, this centurion soldier is demonstrating his trust in something bigger, trust that something bigger can be there. And so I skipped over on your Sunday paper, so go back to it for a second. And the question that Pistos is asking us, that's calling us into, is this question of, what will we trust our lives with? What will you trust your life with? We have a lot of options in life. Similar of being a group of believers, you are a group of people that trust. And we might put our trust in our jobs, in our relationships, in our family. What do you really want to trust your life with, your passion with, who you are with? So how does trust lead us towards that third way? How is trust going to be a component of what we can lean into and grow in? And the first is, trust is a horizon, not a destination. Trust is something that we can always grow in. There can always be that component of who we are that we can put into trust. Maybe you want to trust more in your finances, trust more in your relationships, trust more in your identity, in who you are. We can always grow in this trust. It's always calling us to be in that unstable position between the two pieces of certainty. There's a weight limit on the board, so they're not allowing me to step on it, but there we go. So this uncertain place where it just feels like I'm not exactly sure where to go next. I'm not really solid. It's kind of uncomfortable. It's scary. And yet, that's kind of where trust is calling us into. The other part about trust is a movement, not a position. Trust is a movement, not a position. It's not about saying whether you're in or you're out, you believe or you don't believe. It's moving towards this center, towards this God thing, and leaning more into that, growing in that trust. It's not about where you are in relationship to this. It's where you're pointed to, where you're moving towards. It's not a position that I get to stand on and judge others for. It's a position in which I get to move and grow and learn. And let's be honest, this reality of trust is hard. There's been times in my life when I've had my trust taken away from me, and I wasn't sure what to do with it. And yet, there's still that draw back to this idea of trust. It's something to my humanity. I get the privilege of hanging out with a bunch of adolescents, some teenagers, once a week. And there's some teenagers that have been through some pretty tough stuff. And all of the things that they're supposed to trust in have kind of fallen away, including themselves. And every once in a while, I bring up this word trust to a bunch of young people who all of their trust has been torn away from. And for a while, we sit on kind of that grieving of losing our trust. And then it's kind of the group does it themselves, but they realize that trust is essential to who they are. Trust is what allows them to be in relationship with one another. Trust is what makes them human. And it's this beautiful transition of them realizing that trust is still important, even though everything that they've trusted in has kind of fallen away. And I'm just inspired over and over again of how important trust is when we have these conversations. And so if belief is taking that concept of God and putting it in a shoebox and putting it in a closet in our house, trust to me is like Play-Doh. It's like looking at God as Play-Doh, and you get to play with it and form it, and somehow it kind of changes you too. I don't know when the last time you played with Play-Doh was. Maybe it was here on Easter if you were here, but there's something that happens inside of you when you play with Play-Doh that just kind of relaxes you, that just makes you feel like a kid again. And so not only is God changing as we kind of learn to wrestle with God, or our perspective of God is changing. God doesn't necessarily change, but we're changed too. There's something inside of us that happens when we lean into that trust. So as we started off, and I recognize it might have been a little uncomfortable for all of you, but you all are a bunch of people that are leaning into this idea of faith, of believing, of trusting. You might not all be in the same place, and yet you're all committed to being a community that's wrestling with that idea of the third strand, that concept, that notion of what can God look like and how can God be a part of who I am and what I'm becoming. And I do find it absolutely inspiring to be around a bunch of people that aren't so concerned about what checkboxes you're going to check and where you stand on certain issues. And instead, it's trying to grow and mold and learn and become with one another. And so it really is an inspiration to me to be around a bunch of people that do think that this stuff matters, that are willing to risk, that are willing to grow, willing to be humble and learn. And I just want to encourage you all to continue in that struggle, continue in that movement, continue in that growth. Can you all pray with me? God, I just want to lift up the fact that this third way stuff can be challenging. That certainty feels so safe and secure. And yet, it doesn't feel like it's the point. Help us to continue to trust, continue to grow and learn and move and become the people that you've called us to be. Help us have this security in who we are and that we are loved because we are loved because we are loved because we are loved. And therefore, we can go and explore. In your name we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening. If you found this podcast valuable, please pass it along to others. And we'd love to hear from you too. You can email us at info@jacobs-well.net or message Jacobs Well Minneapolis on Facebook. We see what we do as a community really making a difference for people. Since you're listening, you probably have too. If you'd like to make a donation to support this work, you can find ways at jacobs-well.net/give. Thanks. Listen again next week or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10:30.